This is Karen Lyle with a Nuts and Boats feature. It's SailSport Talk, and we are here with Pete Melvin. Pete is a world-class sailor and boat designer and is training his team for the Newport to Ensenada race. Hello, Pete. So glad to have you here.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for having us on today.
So I understand that you have worked with many boats, both monohulls and catamarans, and one of them is the Jerry Fiat of Utah's AC-45 that he purchased from Oracle last year that the SailGP team is using right now to train for the upcoming San Francisco Grand Prix. Tell us a little bit about that boat.
It's a hydrofoiling catamaran with a wing sail. The AC-45s were developed prior to the last America's Cup, which took place in 2017, and they were used for what they call the AC World Series, or America's Cup World Series events, where the different teams flew in and participated in a series of races. They had, five or six different races at different venues around the world. So they're just a little bit smaller than the boats used in the last America's Cup, which were 50 feet. These AC-45s are 45 feet, but they're very similar. They both are fully hydrofoiling boats. The hulls come up clear of the water, and the boat is 100% supported on hydrofoils, which are quite a bit less drag than having a hull in the water, and therefore allow much higher speeds. So they're very exciting to sail and to watch.
When you take a boat out of the water, it's no longer weighted down by a keel, and you bring it up onto hydrofoils. What does that do for you as a designer and as a sailor?
Well, it opens up all sorts of possibilities for performance, because the hydrofoils have, say, half the drag of the hull. So all of a sudden, you know, your boat accelerates and you're going much faster. But in order to bottle that speed, you need to be able to control it. And that is where the art of sailing one of these boats comes in, and also designing them to be controllable.
Pete, I'm really excited for your upcoming race, the Newport to Ensenada race, and I hope that you break the record with that AC-45 and use those hydrofoils in your team to the best of your ability.
Well, thank you very much. We're looking forward to it. It's a very exciting race, very exciting boat to sail, and we can't wait to get into it.
Rubicon Yachts, quality yachts with brokers you can trust. Yacht sales and acquisition specialists coast to coast. Four West Coast locations with sales docks to serve you. Alameda, Emeryville, and San Francisco in California, and Port Townsend in Washington State. Whether you're looking to sell or buy, Rubicon Yachts is here to help you.
Oh, come now, don't be ashamed. We all have our idiosyncrasies.
I wish you would try and slap Rick Tittle's mama's face. He would clown you.
All right, thanks for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday at 9:40. We do our segment SailSport Talk with Karen Lyle. You can see her on the camera here, twitch.tv. And we're joined in studio by Ron Young. And Ron, let's just get right to it. You are an America's Cup expert. You were the general manager of the America's Cup, and the transition now from these Dennis Conner type of yachtsmen to these catamarans with these professional sailors, it's really changed, hasn't it?
Absolutely. In the same way that if you were swimming in the water, you could go like, you know, 2-3 knots if you're water skiing.
Oh, sorry, that microphone's dead. I'm very sorry. Let's start over.
This one here?
Yeah, let's do that one.
And as I was saying, yes, in the same way that you can swim through the water going like 3 and 4 knots, you can water ski and go 50, 60, 70 knots.
I'm sorry. You know what? Why don't you come over to mine? This is the only microphone that works today, I guess.
Is mine working?
You know what? Go over to Karen's.
Is mine working?
Karen's
Hello,
is
Ron.
The only one that's...
Okay. We're going to film
I'm
for
really
a minute.
I'm sorry.
Thanks so much. Cool. Okay.
Live radio.
We're going to have Ron sitting over here by me. All right. I'm Karen Lyle.
We're
going to share this mic.
We are a professional outfit. I know it seems amateur right now, but I guarantee you we're normally a very professional.
Should I knock on this mic first?
That one works. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, what's happening is the America's Cup has been transitioning over the last 30 years or so from being a sport of gentlemen in classic yachts to that of high-speed racing athletes. It used to be that America's Cup boats could go, 8, 9, 10 knots, 11 knots on a good day. Now they're going to go 50, 55.
Wow.
And so they're doing that in this particular case, one, by having catamarans, which have got a stable base versus monohulls, which are narrower at the base. Secondly, by having wing sails so they can maintain a better aerodynamic shape in all wind conditions. And lastly, and very importantly, they're now foiling. They're literally lifting out of the water and sailing on top of the water at high speeds.
How is that, I think about just the, as you say, single hull and dual hull. The single hull, I think, about how important it is to switch the sails around. Is with a catamaran and getting the human weight, almost ballast, to go one side to the other, how important are those things?
Well, in all cases, the reason you want ballast to move is so you can keep the boat flat. Mm-hmm. And with the sail straight up and down, it's more efficient than when the sail heels over and has a smaller shadow to the wind or smaller shape to the wind. So weight is important in a catamaran, but it's less important because the nature of a catamaran is that the two hulls create a very wide base for any given mast height, wider than a monohull.
I think it's interesting, too, is that in the America's Cup, you can have representing countries, but it always seems like there's a Kiwi helmsman. Sail GP, though, you're actually getting the sailors from those countries, right?
I think that's a key strength of Russell's idea here. And by Russell, I mean Russell Coutts. He's the winningest America's Cup skipper and really the winningest America's Cup sailor, period. He's won 14 America's Cup races and 5 America's Cup regattas. And his notion, and that which many of us have espoused for years, is that the America's Cup should continue to be a sport of nations. In fact, the America's Cup has always been different from other regattas in that it's a race between countries, each of whom is represented by a yacht club.
And it's funny, I remember in the 80s with, I mentioned Connor and all them, it was a race that it wasn't physically possible for us to lose. It just was never going to happen. What was that like? Does that still reverberate to this day that we lost it?
Yes. In 83, it was a big deal that, in fact, D.C., Dennis Connor, lost that race. There's lots of discussion about what was happening on the boat when he did lose it. One could argue he should not have, pardon this technical term, but he jibed in the last downwind leg and sailed away from covering his competitor on the following upwind leg. And that allowed the Aussies, Australia 2, to kind of stay right and basically get to the leeward mark first and win the race. However,
was that overconfidence or just bad seamanship?
No, there was a discussion on board. Halsey Herreshoff, who was the navigator in the boat, was saying that the wind was going to shift a certain way all through the whole regatta. He kept that whole race that day. And he kept saying, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And finally, he persuaded Dennis to jibe. Tom Whidden wanted him to stay right, and Halsey got him to turn to jibe and go left, and that was a mistake. They shouldn't have done that. Turning a boat takes energy away from the boat, and in light air, it's a dangerous tactic. It's a dangerous thing to do. So he should not have decreased his speed that much by jibing, and that's what cost the race.
One last question for you here, and then we're going to be bringing in Phil Robertson down in Long Beach. What is the one that speaks to you personally as a sailor, like one way or the other? Do you embrace both dual hull and the old single hull, or is there one you think is like real racing and not real racing? I mean, how do you take it all in?
Actually, I enjoy the foiling catamarans a lot. In reality, they are as technologically advanced compared to their peers as the Yacht America was in 1851. It was always a game of technology. It's just that everybody's always surprised by the latest version. America, the yacht in 1851, had longer cotton sails, had a different shaped bow. Everybody's copied it ever since then. So it's always been a game of three things: enterprise, lots of money, technology, and lastly, sailing. It's a triathlon, not a sailboat race.
And it's good you worked the word Enterprise in there, too. It's a nice name of a ship.
That's right. Enterprise has been a yacht that's done well in
the
Americas.
Actually, in the Star Trek version, with the Enterprise boat was the Lady Washington, which we featured on April 4th on our first show for season.
I never even thought about Star Trek. There was the Enterprise there as well.
There was the Enterprise, the boat.
Oh,
that was the Lady Washington.
I was thinking of the grand sailing ships and our aircraft carriers, but you're right. That's the Karen. We got a mic working now. Ron, thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it. That's Ron Young, America's Cup expert. We're now joined live by Phil Robertson, and he is in Long Beach getting ready to sail with China. Phil, you have to be from the country which the race, the boat represents, so you're technically Chinese, right?
You got it. Yeah, no, it's a bit of a, yeah, obviously a little bit of a strange one, but the big thing behind it is basically the level of professionalism and sailing amongst the Chinese is very different compared to what you need.
Well, and
wise to sailing these boats. So the objective of our program, is to basically develop the Chinese. So we've got a few Westerners on board and a couple of Chinese at the moment, and we're going to up that every year.
I think you have three grinders who are Chinese. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have two grinders on the boat, and both of them are Chinese at the moment. And we have a flight controller who is from France and a wing trimmer from the UK, and I'm from New Zealand.
And so I think I just talked to Pete Melvin earlier, and he's training for the NTE race that's coming up on the same AC-45 that you're training for, the CLGP. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're here in Long Beach at the moment doing a week of training. And again, one of the big objectives of our week here is just to put more Chinese on the boat and give them a bit more of a safer environment, I guess, to learn how to sail these types of boats as opposed to the F-50. So, yeah, we're here. We've had Pete down as well. And, it's an awesome little spot and a cool boat to sail.
Now, how is the – have you raced on the the 50s that we're going to be doing? What size is the boat for the CLGP that you're going to do in the upcoming race?
Yeah, it's a F-50. So it's,
right,
it's
that was the 50.
They are the modified.
And so, how is the difference between the AC-45 and the 50 that you're going to be racing in CLGP?
I would say the main difference, like the length is very, very similar, but the biggest differences come in the aerodynamic package of the boat. So the F-50 is designed a lot more to fly as opposed to the AC-45. And then the foils are completely different as well, and the whole system around the foils moving. So it's the technology of the F-50 is 1,000 times more developed than what the AC-45 is.
So you're hoping to break some records?
Yeah, I guess that's in the back of our mind. The boats have been designed to go 50 knots. No one's touched it yet. So, that milestone's there. And I'm sure most teams are looking to try and crack that. And I'm not sure I'm too confident in cracking it in racing, because that will be a bit of a scary experience, I'd say.
And you've raced in the San Francisco Bay Area before.
Yeah, I have. I actually came here and raced the AC World Series in 2012. And again, that was actually with Team China, and I was quite young then, quite inexperienced, and it was a bit of an eye-opener, to be honest, racing on the bay there. So, yeah, some pretty fond memories, but we spent a bit of time swimming there as well, so I know the water's cold, that's for sure.
And I think you know, we have these 20 to 25 knot winds usually at that time of year, so your boats are kind of pushing it a little bit at 25 knots, I think.
Yeah, look, it's actually quite daunting thinking of those conditions, and I'm not 100% what it's going to be like in May, but I know the racing's a little bit earlier in the day, around midday, and that's going to make it probably a little bit nicer before that breeze sort of kicks fully. And if we do get that 25 knots, it's going to be a pretty scary ride, that's for sure.
I can tell with your Chinese accent that you are perfect for Team China, by the way. You know, it's funny. We were just speaking with Ron Young, and he talked about how these boats now can foil and catch air. And I did hear you use the word flight control. I don't know if I've ever heard that in a boat. What is that?
Yeah, look, it's a pretty unique little beast. So basically, you got your flight controller, who is effectively a pilot. He sits there, he's in charge of how the boat's flying and charge of all the foil controls, and if you want, you can have him flying the boat the whole time. So the other option is for the helmsman to fly the boat off his steering wheel, And then you've got your wing trimmer as well. So I guess a couple of pretty unique positions now, the way that sailing's gone. And to be honest, I can see that's the future, and that's what it's going to be like in the coming years.
And you know what? I can tell, Phil, as a triathlete and an Ironman, you're one of those go-getters, right?
Yeah, look, I love it, eh? I love sport, and I love sort of the physical side of it as well, and pushing your mind to the limits as well. And, you know, sailing is such a beautiful sport, having only nature to deal with, and you got to be able to handle whatever's thrown at you. And if San Francisco Bay throws 25 knots, you got to be able to deal with it. And that's a real mental challenge at times as well. And especially racing these boats at the speeds that they're going now, it's you got to make sure you're pretty composed at quite high speeds and when the stakes are extremely high as well. So, yeah, it's cool. That's sort of who I am and what I love. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to actually coming down to your area and getting into it again.
Great stuff from Phil Robertson with Sail GP China down in Long Beach. Phil, thanks for joining us on Sail Sport Talk, and we'll see you when you get to town.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, I want to remind you that this was brought to you by Rubicon Yachts, KKMI, and Twin Rivers Marine Insurance. Anything you'd like to add before we say goodbye, Karen?
Yes, next week we're going to be meeting a little earlier at 9:12 because we have the SailGP teams, several teams coming here to be interviewed. So we're going to hope to get as many as possible on the wall of signatures here at Sports Byline USA that are covered with every other sport except for just a few sailors. And we want to add more to that list.
Okay, Rick Tittle for Karen Lyle. We'll take a quick break. We'll come on back on Sports Byline.